الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praises are due to Allah Azza wa Jal. We seek His help, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our soul and the evil of our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah the Almighty guides, there is none who can misguide him, and whomsoever is misguided, none can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I openly testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone without any associates or any partners. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah, the slave of Allah. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, the Quran, the best guidance is the guidance of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnah. And every newly added matter to this religion is an innovation, and every innovation leads astray, and every going astray leads to the hellfire, wa'iyadu billah. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, according to the Gregorian calendar, today for many people all around us is the Good Friday, and on Sunday is Easter Sunday. But when we see these kind of holidays or celebrations, people around us in the stores, people we work with or people we go to school with, or just in general, people all around us, what does it mean for us as Muslims, and what is our obligation, how do we understand it, what is Islamic perspective, and what do we teach our young ones as they grow up, seeing Islam and all these other celebrations? What do we teach them? And it's important for us as Muslims to understand behind every holiday or every celebration what the history is. Because we as Muslims, you know, Islam teaches us to find proofs. Islam teaches us to do a little bit of digging and homework of our own to know what is the reality behind a certain day that is being celebrated. Be it something that we Muslims are celebrating, something that is usually considered as just a customary or traditional day off or holiday, or something that is part of another religion. Because surely, especially for us with kids and families, the next generation growing up in schools and playing with kids in the park and so on, they will come up to us one day and ask us, you know, Mom, Dad, I want to go and paint these Easter eggs. And if you tell them, you know, no, they will say, well, what's wrong with it? So, or what's wrong? It's just some innocent fun, right? Or if I dress up in a costume and just go get some candy. But it's important for us. It is our obligation, especially as elders, especially those of us that are parents, and those elders amongst us, it is our obligation to teach our next generation, and also a reminder for our own selves. So what is behind this day, or this holiday? The Good Friday, well, for us as Muslims, alhamdulillah, every Friday is a Good Friday, right? Because there's nothing bad about Friday. You know, when we hear khutbahs or when we hear about the blessings and the virtues of the day of Friday, so many good things happen on Friday. So for us as Muslims, alhamdulillah, Friday is always a good day. And nothing to be complain about there. But why do the Christians celebrate it? And what is the significance? It's a Friday for them before the Easter Sunday. And it has a religious meaning behind it. As many Christians will tell you, as encyclopedias will tell you, as you will see the churches and so on with this celebration trying to get more people to come to the church, just as we want more people to come to the masjid, right? So it's the Friday that is believed for the Christians that this is the day in which Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam supposedly was crucified, put in the tomb, and on Sunday or the Easter Sunday, he came out of the tomb. What is the meaning of these eggs? It's a symbol for them, as one of the encyclopedias states, in Christianity, the celebration of Easter tide includes Easter eggs, symbolizing the empty tomb of Jesus. Though an egg appears to be like a stone of a tomb, a bird hatches from it with life. Similarly, the Easter egg for Christians is a reminder that Jesus rose from the grave and that those who believe will also experience eternal life. This is the Christian view. So, when we as Muslims are allowing our kids to go and participate in these Easter events, celebrations, even fun little things that may seem innocent on the surface as to what's wrong with just going and painting some eggs, and eating some chocolates that are in shape of eggs and so on. There's nothing wrong with it, right? But it is important for, especially as our kids get older and they have the grasp and understanding, to teach them what is the reason why they do this. And we as Muslims do not believe in this. We as Muslims, it's also a reminder for us to know what our aqidah is, what our belief system is. Because we as Muslims, although we are required to believe in Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam as a messenger of Allah, as a slave of Allah who had a miraculous birth, we don't believe in him as a son of Allah, na'udhu billah, because that becomes shirk. So this is something, a reminder for us as Muslims also, that we are reminded that we believe, and I will quote the verses as well, that we as Muslims believe that he was never crucified. He was never put in that tomb. And he didn't raise from the tomb, as the Christians are celebrating. So this is very important for us as Muslims, because we're surrounded by these events, these celebrations. And if we just let it go, and our kids just participate, or we go innocently and just participate in these events, then our hearts will become too soft and forget the aspect of what is shirk and what our obligation as Muslims is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verses 157 to 159, says, وقالهم إن قتلنا المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك منه ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا بل رفع الله إليه وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وإن من أهل الكتاب إلا ليؤمنن به قبل موته ويوم القيامة يكون عليهم شهيدا. Meaning of these verses, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, 157 to 159. And because of their saying, we killed Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But the resemblance of Jesus, peace be upon him, was put over another man. And those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge. They follow nothing but the conjecture. For surely they did not kill him, but Allah raised him, rafa'a, Allah raised him. And this is raised with body and soul, unto himself. And Allah is all powerful, all wise. And there is none of the people of the scripture, but must believe in him, Jesus, before his death. And on the day of resurrection, he, Jesus, will be a witness against them. So there's so many lessons in environment or in an event like this, both for us as Muslims, what our obligation is, a refresh of our aqidah, and also aspects of giving da'wah. If somebody asks us, now the funny thing is, especially at work and so on, somebody will come up to us, especially today, somebody will come up to us at the end of the day and say, well, have a happy Easter. And many of us will just smile back and say, you too, or, right? But this is very similar to if we Muslims in Ramadan go up to our non-Muslim co-worker and say, Ramadan Mubarak, or Eid Mubarak. And they're going to look at you like, huh, what? So, we as Muslims need to stand firm for our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us too about Muslims. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who believe and they remain steadfast. So, it's not uncommon for certain religions, especially if you tell a Jewish person something like Happy Easter or Merry Christmas, they will tell you, I don't celebrate Easter, I don't celebrate Christmas. But we Muslims, we often are too shy or too afraid, and we'll say it back, as if we celebrate it too. Right? But we don't have to, and we're not supposed to. Because saying it back to them is, you are in agreement with them. As if some of you may recall, I also talked about some of these aspects when we did the khutbah on Christmas. To wish somebody Merry Christmas is the same as saying, I agree with you and your celebration and whatever it contains. And we'll see later on the khutbah too what Umar radiallahu anhu did. So here again, a reminder from Quran, Allah's words, that he was not crucified, he was not killed. Allah raised him up and he's still alive. How and so on, we don't question, because we believe also as Muslims from Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he will return before the end of time. As a Muslim, as a believer in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will break the cross, he will get married, all these things, that's a lengthy hadith. But we know, we as Muslims believe in that as well. So We don't believe in this whole concept of the Good Friday. He was crucified, buried, and then rose from the grave on Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. So we want to teach our kids and our youth and so on, and for us too, if we adults are participating in too, that this is not something from Islam. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst us right now, or his Sahaba, or those early scholars, they would not participate in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verses 55 to 60, Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَأُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Actually, I think I got the wrong surah. I'll just read the translation of the verses is, and remember when Allah says, O Jesus, I will take you and raise you to myself and clear you. Clearly of the fourth statement that Jesus, Allah's son, of those who disbelieve, and I will make those who follow you superior to those of you who believe, who disbelieve. Till the day of resurrection, then you will return to me. And I will judge between you in matters in which you used to dispute. As to those who disbelieve, I will punish them with a severe torment in this world and the hereafter, and they will have no helpers. As for those who believe in the oneness of Allah and do righteous good deeds, Allah will pay them with reward in full, and Allah does not like the wrongdoers. This is what we recite to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the verses and the wise reminder. Verily, the likeness of Jesus, peace be upon him, before Allah is the likeness of Adam. He created him from dust, then he said to him, be, and he was. Kun fayakun. That is the truth from your Lord. So be not of those who have doubt. So again, a reminder that even to the Christians, we have to remind them that Jesus was not the son of Allah. He was but a messenger of Allah. And remind them from what the Quran tells us, that he told them to worship one Allah. He never told them to worship him. He never told them this concept of Trinity. Again, when these things happen around us, these events and so on, we as Muslims, because we believe in proof and so on, we should do some homework too. We should do a little digging too before we just close our eyes and also blindly say, Merry Christmas, Happy Easter and so on. Because, again, this was, if Sahaba were amongst us right now, if those scholars, great scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, Jawzi, rahimahullah, and others were amongst us, they would never participate in this. But we as Muslims, even though we're a minority, that doesn't mean if we're a minority that we have to participate in it. Nobody's forcing us to do that, right? So we need to be steadfast on our deen as Muslims. What do we as Muslims believe in? We don't believe in his crucifixion. We don't believe that he was put in this earth and raised on Sunday, 3 days after. We don't believe in any of this. We don't believe any of that because we know from the Quran, Allah tells us in his word, his book Quran, that Allah raised him. Allah protected him. Allah did not let him get crucified, put him on a cross, but Allah put another man that looked similar to him in that position. And also from their own book. Now as Muslims we're required to study Quran and Sunnah. Allah will only question us about our deen. We are not required to become experts in the Bible and the Gospel and so on. But Allah has blessed certain people, especially those that came from Christianity into Islam. They may already know their books, right? But we as Muslims aren't required that each and every one of us, go and study the Bible, but yet we don't know about the Quran. Yet we have from scholars that know both religions, but that from their own book, when supposedly Jesus, peace be upon him, was put on the cross, what did he say? Ali, Ali lima sabaqtani, meaning of the words in Hebrew. Oh my Lord, why did you betray me? Or, why did you forget about me? This is from their own book. So, we need to keep, just from what the Quran says is enough for us. But if somebody was at that level, at a scholarly level, who has the understanding from the Bible, especially those that were Christian before and now are Muslim, alhamdulillah, may know what they used to read in their Bible. And Allah also says in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, 171, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَ إِلَى مَرْيَمْ وَرُوحٌ مِنْ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثًا. Allah says, meaning of the verse, O people of the scripture, do not commit excess in your religion or say about Allah except the truth, illa al-haq, that the Messiah, son of Mary, was only the son of Mary, not son of Allah. And do not say three. This whole concept of Trinity, even Allah says, la taqulu thalatha, don't say three. This is not what he taught. And similarly, Muhammad ﷺ also told us, do not exaggerate it in our deen as the people of the book did. And we Muslims sometimes do the same thing. With Muhammad ﷺ, we may commit shirk with Muhammad ﷺ, making him equal or higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 79, فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ. Woe to them for what their hands have written, and woe to them for what they have earned. Allah says in Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 72, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. They have certainly disbelieved those who say Allah is the Messiah, the son of Mary. While the Messiah himself, Jesus, peace be upon him, has said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Indeed, he who associates others with Allah as partners, Allah has forbidden for him or her paradise. And his refuge is in the fire, and there are not for the wrongdoers any helpers. And remember, sometimes we participate in things like interfaith and so on, thinking like, no, it's okay, this is a form of da'wah. But the da'wah in Muhammad's time was not that they went to a church or they went to a gathering of other religions and they said, we will listen to you and you listen to us. Remember, from Sirah, many of us have studied Sirah, right? Remember, when they were in Mecca and the Quraysh wanted to make a deal with Muhammad and the Muslims. One day we will worship your Lord and the next day you worship ours. We'll alternate, right? One day on Tawheed, the next day on Shirk. And, you know, the whole story is lengthy. But the Prophet ﷺ's uncle, Abu Talib, put a pressure on him too. You know, don't make a burden for me. You're making things hard for me. And Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, to his uncle, beloved uncle, who was one of his greatest support, even though he didn't believe in Islam, but he was his greatest support. He said to him that, oh uncle, by Allah, if it were to put the sun on my right hand and the moon on my left, I will not stop conveying this message of Islam until the truth becomes victorious or I die in his service. Rasulullah ﷺ was also given this kind of option. Let's alternate. One day we worship your Lord, the next day you worship ours. Right? Interfaith. And although the concept of interfaith may be different today and the intentions may be different, but you know, did Rasulullah ﷺ do it the same way? They sent messengers to kings, to tyrants, with a message of Tawheed. Forget all this shirk, all these associations with Allah. Worship only one Allah. And we know some of them were killed, those messengers. Right? When they said, don't shoot the messengers, some of them actually did get killed. Right? They did not think that, yes, we are the minority, or you know, something bad will happen. No. That is the obligation of da'wah. I will discuss a little bit more what our obligation is and what we should do, and not to take the wrong message from today's khutbah in the second part of the khutbah. But remember, I leave the first khutbah with this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Baqarah, Surah 2, 120, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And never will the Jews or Christians approve of you until you follow their religion. And sometimes that's exactly what happens. We as Muslims are accepting the invitations of these dialogues and so on, but we don't get a chance to give da'wah. How many of us actually go to these events and we invite them to Islam? Hardly ever, right? And there's few scholars, few people at that level that have actually given da'wah in a church and people in the church have accepted Islam. But many of us, majority of us, we all know, majority of us are not at that level. Majority of us go to these things, we are scared, we are afraid, you know, we are a minority, we know what's going on in the media, so we want to go up so they don't think that we Muslims are the T word and so on, right? And we are just going there, you know, to kind of like give some sort of attendance. But we don't tell them, leave off associating partners with Allah. Jesus invited you to worship on Allah. How many of us do that? Very few of us. قُلُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, I know this is a very controversial topic, and sometimes you give khutbas like this and you never get invited again. But the truth has to be spoken, and we as Muslims have to be, you know, remain steadfast on our deen. And now I'm going to make something very, very clear. Although we have to know what our stand is as Muslims, Islam in this kind of message is not saying go and be rude and mean to your Christian neighbor or, you know, non-Muslim co-worker and so on. Islam is not saying that. Remember the time both in Makkah and in Medina. In Makkah, when Muslims were persecuted, they were a minority. People were even not only tortured, but even were killed and made shaheed. Remember that time. But they remained steadfast on their deen, Islam. They even if their forefathers didn't come to Tawheed, they said, no, I will stay steadfast on Islam. Even though there were few in number. They did not force anybody. When they gave da'wah, they gave it, and the hidayah, the guidance comes from Allah. Remember now the time in Medina, when the Muslims are the ruling party, and there are Christians there, there are Jews there, there are other religions basically, and they were allowed to practice their religion freely. They lived in peace and harmony. The Muslims did not say to those that were non-Muslims amongst them in Medina or in the outskirts, oh, you know, you are a Catholic, you are a disbeliever, you're going to hellfire, or you know, be rude to them and so on. No. We know incidents where this lady used to throw the trash at Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and one day when she did it, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inquired as to why she didn't come out and throw trash today. She was so impressed. And, you know, she was so touched by this incident that she accepted Islam. This is what we have to remember, to know how to keep the balance. To remain steadfast as Muslims, to teach our kids about that Jesus, peace be upon him, was not crucified, you know, he was not put on the cross, he never died, etc. To teach these things from an Islamic perspective does not mean that we have to go out today, back to work, back to our school or wherever we're going to, our businesses, and the next time we see somebody say Happy Easter or whatever, you say something rude or mean to them. No, use hikmah, you know, use wisdom, because that's what da'wah is. And like I said, you know, remember that Muslims for many, many generations have lived amongst non-Muslims, even to the time of Spain and so on. And we lived in peace and harmony. You know, let the media bark and say whatever they want as to the Muslims are this, Muslims are that. People see us, everyday Muslims, at our workplaces, in our businesses, in school and so on. How we behave with each other, that is the image they take back. If they're smart, especially, right? If they just listen to TV and believe everything the TV says, okay, you know, can't do much. But the guidance comes from Allah. But it's also important for us to stay steadfast. And if somebody says to us, Happy Easter, you could smile back to them in a polite way. Let them know that I'm a Muslim. I don't celebrate Easter. Right? Find your own hikmah, find your own wisdom as to how you can say that. Or even if you don't want to say it, but you don't have to approve of their celebrations. For each and every one of us, the situation is different. But my message here and my khutbah here is not to go out and be mean to them and so on. Because then you're not going to invite them to Islam, you're going to scare them away. And what's going to happen when we're rude and mean to them? They will say, okay, yep, what the media says, it's got to be true. I mean, look at how rude he was. He's probably such and such person, he probably does this. Remember that Islam teaches us to be different from the disbelievers. And Prophet ﷺ even said, مَن تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people is amongst them. So our obligation is to do da'wah, but use hikmah. And our obligation for those of us with kids and families, but even us as adults, is to know what our stand is in Islam when it comes to these kind of celebrations. And lastly, I'll mention what some of the scholars say. If it's permissible for us as Muslims to go and participate in non-Islamic or other religions' festivals, including Easter. And the scholars say it is not permissible for Muslims to take part in festivals and innovative celebrations of the disbelievers such as Christmas, Easter, and so on. Because taking part and attending is helping in their evil and increasing in their numbers and imitating them when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ And help you one another in righteousness and good deeds. And do not help one another in sin and transgression. So, if somebody is going out there planting trees, we're doing some sort of community service that has nothing to do with the religion, it doesn't matter, we don't look at faith. We as Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, whoever, agnostic, whatever, we can participate in some good deed like that, a community service, no problem. But when a religious, you know, celebration or event is attached or is in the background, then the scholars say it's not permissible for us Muslims to participate in it. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever imitates the people is amongst them. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, it is not permissible for Muslims to attend the festivals of the mushrikeen according to the consensus of the scholars, whose word carry weight, and the fuqaha who follow all the four schools of thought have stated this clearly in all of their books. And al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullah, he said, narrated from a sahih isnad from Umar radiallahu anhu. Watch what Umar radiallahu anhu said. Do not enter upon the mushrikeen in their churches on the day of their festival. For divine wrath is descending upon them. And Umar radiallahu anhu also stated, avoid the enemies of Allah on their festivals. And Al-Bayhaqi narrated with a jayyad isnad from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever settles in the land of the non-Arabs and celebrates, and referring to non-Muslims, especially for that time, and celebrates their new year and festivals and imitates them until he dies, in that state will be gathered with them on the day of resurrection. This is Al-Ahkam Al-Dhimma, and I have the reference if anybody wants afterwards. That is a very deep statement. Not my words, the words of many, many scholars, including Al-Bayhaqi and so on. And the stand-in committee who issues the various fatwas was asked about celebrating the Argentinian celebrations and celebrations that are held in different churches, such as Independence Day and so on, including Easter. And they replied by saying, again, this is a whole group of scholars, they're saying, it is not permissible for Muslims to hold such celebrations or attend them or participate in them with the Christians, because that is helping them in sin and transgression, and Allah has forbidden that. And Allah is the source of strength. And the whole fatwa and all the statements of the scholars is from Al-Fatawa Al-Lajna Al-Da'ima. And you can find scholars like Salih Munajjid and Islam Qa quoting these things as well. This is what Umar radiallahu anhu stated, as I mentioned, from an authentic narration of Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, some people in the back of their minds will say, well, this is very extreme. This is very rude. You know, this is teaching extremism. And if that is the definition of extremism, then you and I, or whoever thinks that definition of extremism, just call Umar radiallahu anhu extremist. And if we truly knew the Sunnah of Muhammad SAW and his seerah, as I stated earlier part of the khutbah, if he was amongst us right now in our time, he would not participate in these things. The Sahaba would not. So by those definitions, we just call all the Sahaba extremists. So it's not a matter of being extreme. It is just a matter of standing firm on our deen and educating ourselves as Muslims about what the Islamic perspective of these things is, such as the crucifixion, such as putting Jesus, peace be upon him, on the cross, the burial, and so on. And what is the Christian perspective? We don't have to go deep and learn all the details about the Christian side, but it is important for us as Muslims to understand what Islam says. The Quran is the best start, Surah Al-Imran. If you don't have much time, Surah Maryam, Surah 19. And also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his authentic sunnah, talks about a lot of these things. From the return of Jesus, peace be upon him, before the end of time, from the past and so on, and previous prophets and so on. So it's important for us as Muslims to remain steadfast on our deen as Muslims, and make sure that we preserve our identity as Muslims. That does not mean that we have to compromise our deen, and that does not mean that we have to be rude or mean or extreme, etc., to anybody else. And we have to find our own hikmah, our own way of wisdom when somebody approaches us and invites us to a church or invites us to something of Easter, etc. How we can, in a hikmah way, know how to turn it down and so on. And if we participate in something that is labeled as interfaith, or we know other religions will be there will be some sort of dialogue, then if you do go, try to go with the message of Islam. Try to stand as a Muslim. Because you might be the one Muslim there, or five Muslims there, or 10 Muslims there in a church. If you are going, regardless of what the scholars say, and you still decide to go, then know how to represent Islam. Because even though none of us can be representatives of Islam, but we are being seen as the representative of Islam. So how we behave if we're taking our family, how we behave with each other, how we're behaving with other Muslims that are there, and how we behave with those from other faiths, says a lot. And sometimes it's just our actions that's enough for da'wah to bring someone closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or turn them away and run far, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Actually, before I go, there were announcements, but I forgot to print them this time. So if somebody has them from the back, maybe Sister Camille or somebody has them, can announce. But there's a very, very important announcement before I do the dua for Janaja, for Sister Jamila Rashid, who was the wife of the Imam Ali Rashid. She has returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Janaza is at Inglewood Cemetery at 9:30 on Monday, this coming Monday on the 22nd of April. And the repass is scheduled after the Janaza. For any more information that you need for this Janaza, please contact Masjid Bilal in Los Angeles for more information. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لكوننا من الخاسرين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين اللهم لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, those Muslims that are sick, give them speedy recovery. Those that have passed away, Ya Allah, admit them into the Jannah, Jannah of Firdaus, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, all those Muslims that are going through surgery or any sort of hardship or difficulty anywhere in the world, Ya Allah, ease their pain and give their family sabr. Oh Allah, make us steadfast on our deen, give us istiqamah on this deen, and make us muwahideen, standing on tawheed, staying away from shirk, from riyah, from bid'ahs, from kufr, and so on. Ya Allah, make us a good representative of Islam, and let us teach and pass on the word of Islam to our next generations. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa aqim as-salah.